Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Melissa Canchola. Thanks for listening to me on this Sunday. We're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I will start you off with a song. And it's a nice song. It's called Ocean Floor. And it's by Audio Adrenaline. And it's a reminder of, once you're a Christian, your all sins are tossed away as far as east to west. And like it says on the ocean floor, it's like saying the deepest part of the earth and no more. So listen to this. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. Here's Ocean Floor by Audio Adrenaline. That was Audio Adrenaline with Ocean Floor. And yes, Truth Be Told Radio. Reminder, you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And gonna take a break next, and thank you for listening.
Put to death because they needed a bed. Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, How Could a Loving God? I heard about a Dutch study on euthanasia which found that in a single year there were more than 2,700 euthanasia deaths. These were people who were deliberately killed by a doctor, and you know what? Half of them were not even given a choice. One elderly lady didn't even want to be admitted to a hospital because she thought the doctors would put her down. Her own doctor assured her he wouldn't do that, so she went in. But while he was away, someone else killed her because they needed her bed for another patient. You know, patient killing is actually a logical outcome of indoctrination and evolution. You see, the more people believe that they're just evolved animals, then who decides right or wrong? If we're just animals anyway, then killing a human is no different than putting down a dog or a cat. From a survival of the fittest perspective, it makes sense to rid the world of the old or sick. Christians have to stand against this evil and teach that all humans are very special, made in the image of God. Do you wonder why America has moved so far away from the Bible? Are we surprised that people are more accepting of so-called gay marriage, abortion, and other social ills? Well, that's the theme of a fascinating DVD by Ken Ham, available to you for your donation of any size. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS, or go online to answersoffer.org.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever."
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. We also have a Facebook page, and you can see me, Melissa A. Cantrella, C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A. And you can see that at truthbetoldradio.com. And next I'm going to play from, we've been playing in the past weeks from the Fox's Book of Martyr. Martyrs, it's an audio version. And I'm going to play Chapter 8, Part 3. Thank you for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
Chapter 8, Part 3 of Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording by Anna Roberts. Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1, by John Fox, edited by William Byron Forbush. Chapter 8, An Account of the Persecutions in Bohemia Under the Papacy, Part 3. Innumerable were the other murders and depredations committed by those unfeeling brutes, and shocking to humanity were the cruelties which they inflicted on the poor Bohemian Protestants. The winter being far advanced, however, the High Court of Reformers, with their infernal band of military ruffians, thought proper to return to Prague, but on their way, meeting with a Protestant pastor, they could not resist the temptation of feasting their barbarous eyes with a new kind of cruelty, which had just suggested itself to the diabolical imagination of one of the soldiers. This was to strip the minister naked, and alternately to cover him with ice and burning coals. This novel mode of tormenting a fellow creature was immediately put into practice, and the unhappy victim expired beneath the torments, which seemed to delight his inhuman persecutors. A secret order was soon after issued by the emperor, for apprehending all noblemen and gentlemen who had been principally concerned in supporting the Protestant cause, and in nominating Frederick Elector Palatine of the Rhine to be king of Bohemia. These, to the number of 50, were apprehended in one night, and at one hour, and brought from the places where they were taken to the castle of Prague, and the estates of those who were absent from the kingdom were confiscated, themselves were made outlaws, and their names fixed upon a gallows, as marks of public ignominy. The High Court of Reformers then proceeded to try the 50, who had been apprehended, and two apostate Protestants were appointed to examine them. These examinants asked a great number of unnecessary and impertinent questions, which so exasperated one of the noblemen, who was naturally of a warm temper, that he exclaimed, opening his breast at the same time, "Cut here, search my heart, you shall find nothing but the love of religion and liberty. Those were the motives for which I drew my sword, and for those I am willing to suffer death." As none of the prisoners would change their religion, or acknowledge that they had been in error, they were all pronounced guilty, but the sentence was referred to the emperor. When that monarch had read their names, and an account of the respective accusations against them, he passed judgment on all, but in a different manner, as his sentences were of four kinds, that is, death, banishment, imprisonment for life, and imprisonment during pleasure. 20, being ordered for execution, were informed they might send for Jesuits, monks, or friars to prepare for the awful change they were to undergo, but that no Protestants should be permitted to come near them. This proposal they rejected, and strove all they could to comfort and cheer each other upon the solemn occasion. On the morning of the day appointed for the execution, a cannon was fired as a signal to bring the prisoners from the castle to the principal marketplace, in which scaffolds were erected, and a body of troops were drawn up to attend the tragic scene. The prisoners left the castle with as much cheerfulness as if they had been going to an agreeable entertainment, instead of a violent death. Exclusive of soldiers, Jesuits, priests, executioners, attendants, etc., a prodigious concourse of people attended, to see the exit of these devoted martyrs, who were executed in the following order. Lord Schillick was about 50 years of age, and was possessed of great natural and acquired abilities. When he was told he was to be quartered, and his parts scattered in different places, he smiled with great serenity, saying, "The loss of a sepulchre is but a trifling consideration." A gentleman who stood by crying, "Courage, my lord," he replied, "I have God's favor, which is sufficient to inspire anyone with courage. The fear of death does not trouble me. Formerly I have faced him in fields of battle to oppose Antichrist, and now dare face him on a scaffold, for the sake of Christ." Having said a short prayer, he told the executioner he was ready. He cut off his right hand and his head, and then quartered him. His hand and his head were placed upon the high tower of Prague, and his quarters distributed in different parts of the city. Lord Viscount Wenceslas, who had attained the age of 70 years, was equally respectable for learning, piety, and hospitality. His temper was so remarkably patient that when his house was broken open, his property seized, and his estates confiscated, he only said with great composure, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away." Being asked why he could engage in so dangerous a cause as that of attempting to support the Elector Palatine Frederick against the power of the Emperor, he replied, "I acted strictly according to the dictates of my conscience, and to this day deem him my king. I am now full of years, and wish to lay down life, that I may not be a witness of the further evils which are to attend my country. You have long thirsted for my blood. Take it, for God will be my avenger." Then approaching the block, he stroked his long gray beard and said, "Venerable heirs, the greater honor now attends ye. A crown of martyrdom is your portion." Then laying down his head, it was severed from his body at one stroke, and placed upon a pole in a conspicuous part of the city. Lord Herant was a man of good sense, great piety, and much experience gained by travel, as he had visited the principal places in Europe, Asia, and Africa. Hence he was free from national prejudices, and had collected much knowledge. The accusations against this nobleman were his being a Protestant, and having taken an oath of allegiance to Frederick, Elector Palatine of the Rhine, as King of Bohemia. When he came upon the scaffold, he said, "I have traveled through many countries, and traversed various barbarous nations, yet never found so much cruelty as at home. I have escaped innumerable perils, both by sea and land, and surmounted inconceivable difficulties, to suffer innocently in my native place. My blood is likewise sought by those for whom I, and my forefathers, have hazarded our estates, but, Almighty God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He then went to the block, kneeled down, and exclaimed with great energy, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. In thee have I always trusted. Receive me, therefore, my blessed Redeemer." The fatal stroke was then given, and a period put to the temporary pains of this life. Lord Frederick de Beale suffered as a Protestant, and a promoter of the late war. He met his fate with serenity, and only said he wished well to the friends whom he left behind, forgave the enemies who caused his death, denied the authority of the Emperor in that country, acknowledged Frederick to be the only true King of Bohemia, and hoped for salvation in the merits of his blessed Redeemer. Lord Henry Otto, when he first came upon the scaffold, seemed greatly confounded, and said, with some asperity, as if addressing himself to the Emperor, "Thou tyrant, Ferdinand, your throne is established in blood, but if you will kill my body, and disperse my members, they shall still rise up in judgment against you." He then was silent, and having walked about for some time, seemed to recover his fortitude, and growing calm, said to a gentleman who stood near, "I was, a few minutes since, greatly discomposed, but now I feel my spirits revive. God be praised for affording me such comfort. Death no longer appears as the king of terrors, but seems to invite me to participate of some unknown joys." Kneeling before the block, he said, "Almighty God, to thee I commend my soul. Receive it for the sake of Christ, and admit it to the glory of thy presence." The executioner put this nobleman to considerable pain by making several strokes before he severed the head from the body. The Earl of Rugenia was distinguished for his superior abilities and unaffected piety. On the scaffold, he said, "We who drew our swords fought only to preserve the liberties of the people, and to keep our consciences sacred. As we were overcome, I am better pleased at the sentence of death than if the Emperor had given me life, for I find that it pleases God to have his truth defended, not by our swords, but by our blood." He then went boldly to the block, saying, "I shall now be speedily with Christ," and received the crown of martyrdom with great courage. Sir Gaspar Caplitz was 86 years of age. When he came to the place of execution, he addressed the principal officer thus, "Behold, a miserable ancient man, who hath often entreated God to take him out of this wicked world, but could not until now obtain his desire, for God reserved me until these years to be a spectacle to the world and a sacrifice to himself. Therefore God's will be done." One of the officers told him, in consideration of his great age, that if he would only ask pardon, he would immediately receive it. "Ask pardon!" exclaimed he. "I will ask pardon of God, whom I have frequently offended, but not of the Emperor, to whom I never gave any offense. Should I sue for pardon, it might be justly suspected I had committed some crime for which I deserve this condemnation. No, no, as I die innocent and with a clear conscience, I would not be separated from this noble company of martyrs. So saying, he cheerfully resigned his neck to the block. Procopius Dorzecki on the scaffold said, "We are now under the emperor's judgment, but in time he shall be judged, and we shall appear as witnesses against him." Then, taking a gold medal from his neck, which was struck when the Elector Frederick was crowned king of Bohemia, he presented it to one of the officers, at the same time uttering these words, "As a dying man, I request, if ever King Frederick is restored to the throne of Bohemia, that you will give him this medal. Tell him, for his sake, I wore it until death, and that now I willingly lay down my life for God and my king." He then cheerfully laid down his head and submitted to the fatal blow. Dionysius Servius was brought up a Roman Catholic, but had embraced the Reformed religion for some years. When upon the scaffold, the Jesuits used their utmost endeavors to make him recant and return to his former faith, but he paid not the least attention to their exhortations. Kneeling down, he said, "They may destroy my body, but cannot injure my soul. That I commend to my Redeemer," and then patiently submitted to martyrdom, being at that time 56 years of age. Valentin Cocan was a person of considerable fortune and eminence, perfectly pious and honest, but of trifling abilities. Yet his imagination seemed to grow bright, and his faculties to improve on death's approach, as if the impending danger refined the understanding. Just before he was beheaded, he expressed himself with such eloquence, energy, and precision as greatly amazed those who knew his former deficiency in point of capacity. Tobias Stefik was remarkable for his affability and serenity of temper. He was perfectly resigned to his fate, and a few minutes before his death spoke in this singular manner, "I have received, during the whole course of my life, many favors from God. Ought I not therefore cheerfully to take one bitter cup when he thinks proper to present it? Or rather, ought I not to rejoice that it is his will I should give up a corrupt life for that of immortality?" Dr. Jesenius, an able student of physic, was accused of having spoken disrespectful words of the emperor, of treason in swearing allegiance to the Elector Frederick, and of heresy in being a Protestant. For the first accusation he had his tongue cut out, for the second he was beheaded, and for the third and last he was quartered, and the respective parts exposed on poles. Christopher Chober, as soon as he stepped upon the scaffold, said, "I come in the name of God to die for his glory. I have fought the good fight and finished my course. So, executioner, do your office." The executioner obeyed, and he instantly received the crown of martyrdom. No person ever lived more respectful or died more lamented than John Schultes. The only words he spoke before receiving the fatal stroke were, "The righteous seem to die in the eyes of fools, but they only go to rest. Lord Jesus, thou hast promised that those who come to thee shall not be cast off. Behold, I am come. Look on me, pity me, pardon my sins, and receive my soul." Maximilian Hostiolik was famed for his learning, piety, and humanity. When he first came on the scaffold, he seemed exceedingly terrified at the approach of death. The officer, taking notice of his agitation, Hostiolik said, "Ah, sir, now the sins of my youth crowd upon my mind, but I hope God will enlighten me, lest I sleep the sleep of death, and lest mine enemies say we have prevailed." Soon after, he said, "I hope my repentance is sincere, and will be accepted, in which case the blood of Christ will wash me from my crimes." He then told the officer he should repeat the Song of Simeon, at the conclusion of which the executioner might do his duty. He accordingly said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." At which words his head was struck off at one blow. When John Kuttenauer came to the place of execution, a Jesuit said to him, "Embrace the Roman Catholic faith, which alone can save and arm you against the terrors of death." To which he replied, "Your superstitious faith I abhor. It leads to perdition, and I wish for no other arms against the terrors of death than a good conscience." The Jesuit turned away, saying sarcastically, "The Protestants are impenetrable rocks." "You are mistaken," said Kuttenauer. "It is Christ that is the rock, and we are firmly fixed upon him." This person, not being born independent, but having acquired a fortune by a mechanical employment, was offered to be hanged. Just before he was turned off, he said, "I die not for having committed any crime, but for following the dictates of my own conscience and defending my country and religion." Simeon Sosicki was father-in-law to Kuttenauer, and, like him, was ordered to be executed on a gallows. He went cheerfully to death, and appeared impatient to be executed, saying, "Every moment delays me from entering into the kingdom of Christ." Nathaniel Wodniansky was hanged for having supported the Protestant cause, and the election of Frederick to the crown of Bohemia. At the gallows, the Jesuits did all in their power to induce him to renounce his faith. Finding their endeavors ineffectual, one of them said, If you will not abjure your heresy, at least repent of your rebellion? To which Wodniansky replied, You shall take away our lives under a pretended charge of rebellion, and, not content with that, seek to destroy our souls. Glut yourselves with blood and be satisfied, but tamper not with our consciences. Wodniansky's own son then approached the gallows and said to his father, Sir, if life should be offered to you on condition of apostasy, I entreat you to remember Christ and reject such pernicious overtures. To this the father replied, It is very acceptable, my son, to be exhorted to constancy by you, but suspect me not. Rather, endeavor to confirm in their faith your brothers, sisters, and children, and teach them to imitate that constancy of which I shall leave them an example. He had no sooner concluded these words than he was turned off, receiving the crown of martyrdom with great fortitude. Wenceslas Gizbitsky, during his whole confinement, had great hopes of life given him, which made his friends fear for the safety of his soul. He, however, continued steadfast in his faith, prayed fervently at the gallows, and met his fate with singular resignation. Martin Foster was an ancient cripple, the accusations against whom were being charitable to heretics and lending money to the Elector Frederick. His great wealth, however, seemed to have been his principal crime, and that he might be plundered of his treasures was the occasion of his being ranked in this illustrious list of martyrs. End of chapter 8.
Thank you for some trippy tolerance. I'm sorry for the delay. That's from the Fox Book of Martyrs. And it was chapter 8, and that was part 3 of that. And next we're going to take a break. Thank you for seeing Trippy Tolery.
Put to death because they needed a bed. Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book How Could a Loving God? I heard about a Dutch study on euthanasia which found that in a single year there were more than 2,700 euthanasia deaths. These were people who were deliberately killed by a doctor, and you know what? Half of them were not even given a choice. One elderly lady didn't even want to be admitted to a hospital because she thought the doctors would put her down. Her own doctor assured her he wouldn't do that, so she went in. But while he was away, someone else killed her because they needed her bed for another patient. You know, patient killing is actually a logical outcome of indoctrination and evolution. You see, the more people believe that they're just evolved animals, then who decides right or wrong? If we're just animals anyway, then killing a human is no different than putting down a dog or a cat. From a survival of the fittest perspective, it makes sense to rid the world of the old or sick. Christians have to stand against this evil and teach that all humans are very special, made in the image of God.
Do you wonder why America has moved so far away from the Bible? Are we surprised that people are more accepting of so-called gay marriage, abortion, and other social ills? Well, that's the theme of a fascinating DVD by Ken Ham, available to you for your donation of any size. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS, or go online to answersoffer.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Say, what do you think of our government? Now, maybe you shouldn't answer that question. I don't have all day. Seriously, though, everyone knows that our government is far from perfect. But then what did you expect? It's run by imperfect, flawed human beings. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. One of our favorite texts for the Christmas season is Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Now, one of the prominent aspects of this prophecy, in fact, in context, the purpose for which it was written, is, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Verse 7 goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. The point is this, this child, this son, will govern the entire world. It is the picture of the entire world resting upon his shoulder, like the atlas of classical mythology with the world on his back. The word for government here is the Hebrew word for dominion or lordship. It comes from a root verb that means to prevail, to have power. In other words, it is not a word for the administrative and organizational aspects of government. Rather, it is the idea of prevailing over others, of having dominion and exercising power and lordship. You see, one day Jesus Christ will come again in great power and glory to establish his kingdom upon the earth. and then the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, whenever you get disgusted with our government, think about the government of Jesus and pray for his return.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden. That's awordfromtheword.org.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell. And we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
You're listening to Trippy Toll Radio, and I'm your host, Willis Cantor. And next we're going to play some, got some funny clips from, he's a Christian comedian. His name is Brad Stein, and he does some very funny things. And we're going to play that, got some things from YouTube. And the first one starting off with this, says, it's called Atheists Are Irrational.
We got people that are so self-absorbed that just because their little thinking niche market isn't being thinking represented, they want to freak atheists. It's the only ideology that just freaks me out, man. Atheists. Atheists once under God taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. You know why? It offends him. I'm like, dude, you're an atheist. You don't even believe God is real. How can he offend you? Who is more irrational? The guy that believes in a God he doesn't see, or a guy who's offended by a God he doesn't believe in? What else is freaking you out? Unicorns? Unicorns! Oh, they're saying the unicorn word in school. Run, run! Crying out loud has become ridiculous. I don't care what you think. We look at life and think it has purpose and meaning. We think that love is real and courage is real and nobility is real and honor is real. None of those ideas that I just told you that you believe is real is in matter. It's not in molecules. It's not material. It's transcendent. It's something beyond our humanness, something we couldn't have got to on our own, and certainly it wasn't evolved by evolution, because evolution says that whatever happens to survive is all that matters. That's all that matters, which means right and wrong doesn't exist. Culture just creates it as it goes. You gotta be kidding me. You see beauty and you see the majesty of creation, for crying out loud. You see God and his handiwork. Not the gospel. Can you not see that? Well, God is a crutch. Yeah? Well, not believing in God is a coma. You don't see nothing. Anthony Flew. Anthony Flew, 50 years, one of the most famous philosophical atheists in the world, teaches at Oxford. One of the most influential atheist philosophers in the world, 30 books on it. Recently said he's a deist now. You know what was the convincing force then? One of the most compelling convincing force? Intelligent design theory. By doctorates and double doctorates who say something must have done this, it couldn't have been by chance. He was convinced and became, after 50 years, a deist. Intelligent design theory. The same theory that a judge in Georgia said you're not allowed to teach kids. Because he's smarter than the atheist philosopher from Oxford. We've got to be prepared, folks. Prepared to battle for our country's standards of morality. What is going to base the next generation? God or just matter? I don't know. But I say there's a whole bunch of people like us who aren't going away and want our country back, and we'll fight for it. And that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me after all these years of working in comedy clubs throughout the country. I finally just decided I'm going to come out. I'm a conservative and I'm a Christian and I'm proud.
Next clip is another one from Brad Stein. His CDs on, got these from YouTube. Brad Stein, he's a comedian and a Christian comedian. And this one's called The Wussification of America.
I want to watch political correctness die in my lifetime. But first, I want to watch it suffer. Because it has taken our children and turned them from people of character who stood up for what they believed, irrespective of what somebody thought, and took away their spine and their courage and made them wussies. That's what's killing us. It's the wussification of America that's killing us. No more wussies. We have to teach the kids who we are and how we got here, because it was rough, man. People came over here hundreds of years ago in boats, man, and it was hard. Hundreds of years ago, it was hard on boats, and they came here to get away from religious persecution. And some people came here, and they were slaves, and it was a horrible stay in our culture. And we've tried to change that. But the point is, we got here, and now we created this amazing country. And what was so fascinating is that people were willing to die. They're willing to die to get here. And if you think that wasn't rugged enough, as they're coming here, they brought their kids. Months and months and months of the stinking ocean trying to get over there. And the kids didn't complain. They threw up a lot, but they didn't complain. And they all arrived here. We got the entire Eastern Seaboard created, but that wasn't enough. We were going to go west because we were going to create a free democracy that no world had ever seen before. No land had ever seen. And so we got into covered wagons, and we went for months and months. And these people, they brought their kids again. And the kids didn't have DVDs, and they didn't have radios, and they didn't have CDs. And the kids weren't going, are we there yet? You know why? Because there was no there yet. We're going to make it there. And we did. We made it there. And we created a country unlike any other. Because when something is hard to achieve, when you get it, you appreciate it.
Next, we got another one from Brad Stein. And this clip is called Offended by the Truth. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, and we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you for listening.
you're a Christian man, you're not supposed to offend people. Let me tell you, I'd rephrase that just a bit, my brothers and sisters. I am not allowed to maliciously offend people. I'm not allowed to think of myself better or superior or be a racist or be a bigot. That's absolutely true. It's a beautiful part of my religious belief. But if you are offended by the truth, that's your problem. I'm under no obligation not to speak the truth because it might hurt your feelings, for crying out loud. The truth is supposed to hurt. That's how it lets you know you don't got it. I always speak the truth. That's all I got, for crying out loud. But this whole idea of oppressing of its people hurting our feelings is arbitrary. People just don't even have to have an argument anymore. They just say, you've hurt my feelings. You know how you stop political correctness? You stop doing it. Somebody says, you hurt my feelings. And you say, I don't care. Game over. I win. Because if they're offended by truth, that's not your obligation. Let me tell you something, how arbitrary it was. There was a school in Washington that wanted to celebrate Halloween for all their children. And so they said, come home, come back to elementary school, and wear all of your costumes. But, girls, you can't wear a costume dressed like a witch. Do you know why they didn't let them do that? Because there's a woman from the local Wiccan chapter that was offended by the stereotype. Excuse me, but if you're getting offended because you're a witch, who cares? You should be. I've read about you people. You go around poisoning apples. You try to throw Hansel and Gretel in an oven. You got warts all over yourself. You cast spells on people. You ride around on broomsticks. If anybody should be offended in this country, it's a witch. And by the way, if I offend you and you're a witch, I don't know. Isn't there a potion for that? Maybe some rutabaga, some eye of newt, put it in a cauldron, drink it all up. Because I'm thinking, if you can think and control nature with incantations, you'd have bigger fish to fry than being offended by a six-year-old in striped socks and a pointed hat trying to score a Kit Kat bar at Halloween, you dork. Put a helmet on! Oh, crying out loud, count your blessings. At least we stopped burning you at the stake, you big baby. Of course, in this day and age, there's probably some witch in the back going, that's not funny, I'm gone.
That's Brad Stein, and he's a Christian comedian. We have some more clips from him. The next one I'm going to play is Brad Stein with self-esteem.
People that have lost common sense, that's what we need. They need to be wearing helmets every time they treat us stupid, because the kids are the ones that suffer. Because in the schools, they don't know what to do. Because they can't change the kids, so they just try to change the law. Self-esteem, that's where it comes from. Self-esteem from psychiatry. Psychiatry from Freud. Freud was an atheist. Self-esteem, it sounds like a great idea. Let's all do that. I must love me. I must love only me. And it's good to be care about yourself. But where does the esteem come from? You see, if you just love yourself based on yourself, it leads to tyranny, ego, pride. Where does it come from? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said. Remember him? The guy we used to go to for absolute ethics and moral in this country. He said, you want to have esteem? You must always esteem others first. You must always esteem others first. You'll have love. Remember the Ten Commandments? The very thing we used as a fulcrum for all the laws in this country that you can't even put in front of a state building anymore. First commandment, God Almighty said to humans was, you will love me first. You will put me first, because when the creator of matter tells you you matter, then you have purpose and then you have self-esteem. But they don't get it. They don't get it. And so we turn the kids into cowards. Oh, Johnny can't tie a shoe. Let's not make him learn to tie a shoe in case he's not good at it and feels embarrassed and ruins his self-esteem. Let's put Velcro straps on Johnny's shoe. Johnny wants to play in the monkey bars. What if he's not as good as all the other kids? What if he falls and skins his knee? He'll ruin his self-esteem. We must now remove the monkey bars so nobody gets them. Or we'll stick him over here in the grass and throw him some, you know, pineapples and some thinking mushrooms so that if they fall, they possibly won't get hurt. It's become ridiculous. I had monkey bars. You know what they put them over? Asphalt! And without a helmet, I might add. The That's what I'm talking about. And then the pièce de résistance, the antibacterial wipe. Ah, how have we survived as a species without the antibacterial wipe? Johnny, don't touch it until I mop it down thoroughly with an antibacterial wipe. God forbid you get a germ inside you. A germ. No wonder we have a multi-billion dollar antibiotic industry. We don't let enough germs get inside our kids so their body can learn to fight it off the way God designed it to do. Oh, that's how it's supposed to work. If you really love your kids, the next time they drop a sucker in the dirt, pick it up, blow it off, and shove it back in the mouth the way we had to do. But the kids don't know. The kids in shock. You mean you didn't have antibacterial wipes? Sure we did. Mom used to spit in a Kleenex and wipe my face. That was my antibacterial wipe. And look how I turned out.
Next, another clip from Brad Stein, Christian comedian. And this one is called What Makes America Great.
Yes! Oh man, I'm feeling good. Look at you. I smell my people tonight. I smell my people tonight. I know where I am, smack dab in middle America. I am proud to be here. I'll tell you why. You are the last vestige of America that remembers the traditions that made us great. Let me tell you why I love you all. You love your church, you love your country, and you hunt, you fish, and you don't apologize for it. And that's why I love coming down here. I love you all. So tired of this political correct. Don't shoot the animals, they might get their feelings hurt. You don't even pretend to be animal rights activists around here. You people are like, see the bunny, shoot it, eat it, make a hat out of the rest of it. That's a cute bunny. Yeah, that sure was it. Is that a snake? No, it's a boot right there. Put that bad boy on. That's America. Shoot it, eat it. If you got a head left over, don't hide it somewhere surreptitiously. Hang it on your wall. That's what made us great. Men could sit there and say, look at my head. That's what made us great. That's why I'm so proud to be part of you people. But I got to tell you something. I live in California most of my life. I moved down the South because I wanted to remember what made our country great. See the people that learned about personal responsibility and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. And it's hard. It's hard for me to make this transition. I can't drive here. I'm telling you why. You guys changed my life. I'm serious. I learned to drive in Los Angeles, California. People think L.A.'s hard, L.A.'s easy. 8 billion miles of freeways, one sign, maximum speed, 65, good luck, go! Not here. No. You guys have things happen on your freeways every day that used to only happen to pioneers. Strange phenomenon I'm not used to. For the first 6 months, I was freaked out trying to drive here. Why? Because I'm not used to a sign warning me about an animal that might leap out. Get a zoo for crying out loud. First time I saw deer crossing, I'm like, why do you let them on? You got deer jumping out on the road. That's not put up a sign problem. That's put up a fence problem. You know what I'm talking about? Put up a wall, dig a moat, get a stun gun, put them on a leash. You know what? They invented barbed wire. Use it, for crying out loud. You got deer jumping out on the road and you act like that's normal. Yeah, it's normal if you live in a cartoon. What do they do? Jump out and top hats. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Suddenly I'm in a place where deer just might shoot out on the road. Then you got your cold weather signs, written in some cryptic shorthand apparently only you people can decipher. Bridge, ice is before road. I'm like, okay, what do I do? Where's the rest of the information? You're all past me. Ooh, I got heat on, snowshoes, a walrus. Help me! The bridge is gonna do something! Look out for deer!
My favorite one was watch out for tractors. I'm no farmer, mind you, but don't they have like your designated, I don't know, field they're supposed to be in? Southern farmers just run wild periodically. Party! Hey, clam, grab a combine. Let's go on the freeway. Woo! Slow down. Got this baby up to 3. Let's go race the Amish. Come on. That's right. When all else fails, make fun of the Amish. Why? Because they have no electronic recording equipment to prove I said anything. And if they did, they couldn't plug it in anyway.
That's brass fine. Very funny. Christian comedian. And the next clip we'll play. Let's see what we got. Well, I'm going to upload some more clips from him. And for now, I'm going to take a break. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com.
The theory of evolution. Why do people believe it? Answers with Ken Ham, author of the bestseller, The Lie, Evolution. From my experience, people don't believe in evolution because of the evidence. You see, they often don't even know the facts. I remember when I was on a talk show and a caller phoned in and said, it was obvious that evolution was true because of the evidence. So I said, well, tell the radio listeners, what's your best evidence for evolution? There was silence, and then the caller said, well, all the in-between forms, the transitional forms that show that one kind of animal changed into another. Then I said to the caller, can you name one? He said, well, I can't, but it's in the textbook somewhere. You see, he, like most people I've met who believe in evolution, can't give you evidence for evolution. So why do they believe it then? Well, if you accept that God is creator, it means you're accountable to God and he sets the rules. But if you're just a product of evolution, then it means you can write your own rules. Rebellion. You know, that's the real reason people don't want to accept creation.
Ken Ham looks much more into this fascinating topic in a DVD, which we'll send to you for your gift of any size. Call toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and request Ken's video on Reclaiming the Culture. As we begin to close out the week, call us 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to the web at answersoffer.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell, and we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're saying Truth Be Told Radio. We have been playing before Brad Stein clips. He's a Christian comedian. But I'm going to take a break and do something serious for now. This is a very good clip. And it's called A Powerful Lesson from ER. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And you could also hear our archives after the show. And all of our shows are archived on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and also on iTunes as truthbetoldradio.com. That's iTunes.
And like I said, here is the clip called A Powerful Lesson from ER. Thank you for listening to Trippy Toll Radio.
And this time, it took him 90 seconds to die. 7 months later, a police officer came forward. The boy was framed for the murder. He didn't do it.
You couldn't have known that.
God tried to stop me from killing an innocent man, and I ignored the sign. How can I even hope for forgiveness?
I think sometimes it's easier to feel guilty than forgiven.
Which means what?
That maybe your guilt over these deaths has become your reason for living. Maybe you need a new reason to go on.
I don't want to go on. Can't you see? I'm old. I have cancer. I've had enough. The only thing that is holding me back is that I am afraid. I'm afraid of what comes next.
What do you think that is?
Oh, you tell me. Is atonement even possible? What does God want from me?
I think it's up to each one of us to interpret what God wants.
So people can do anything? They can rape, they can murder, they can steal all in the name of God, and it's okay?
No, that's not what I'm
saying. Well, what are you saying? Because all I'm hearing is some new age, God is love, one size fits all crap.
Hey, Dr. Shulman.
No, I don't have time for this now.
Greg, it's okay. Look, I understand.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand. How could you possibly say that? Now, you listen to me. I want a real chaplain who believes in a real God and a real hell.
I hear that you're frustrated, but you need to ask yourself...
No, I don't need to ask myself. I need answers. And all your questions and your uncertainty are only making things worse.
I know you're upset.
God, I need someone who will look me in the eye and tell me how to find forgiveness because I am running out of time.
I'm trying to help.
Well, don't! Just get out! Get out! Get out!
This clip is a tribute to the writers of ER because it's true to real life. The word conscience means with knowledge. And here we have a man who has seriously violated his conscience and is overcome by guilt. Listen to his words.
I am afraid. I'm afraid of what comes next.
True guilt always produces a fear of punishment, and so it should. Any guilty criminal should have a fear that one day he'll have to face the law that he's violated. When that so-called minister said, "I think it's up to every one of us to interpret what God wants," listen to the man's reasoning.
So people can do anything? They can rape, they can murder, they can steal all in the name of God, and it's okay?
This is common sense. Think about it for a moment. What would you think of a judge who turned a blind eye to murder? He knew who killed somebody, but he deliberately looked the other way. If a judge did that, he's not a good judge. He's corrupt and should be brought to justice himself. In the United States, between 1990 and the year 2000, there were 100,000 unsolved murders. 100,000 people were murdered, and the murderers got away scot-free. If God isn't going to bring those murderers to justice, then he's not good. He's corrupt. So it made sense to this man that if God is good, there must be a place of punishment for murderers. Listen to his conclusion.
You listen to me. I want a real chaplain who believes in a real God and a real hell.
Logic told him that if God is good, something we all know intuitively, murderers will be punished. They will go to a place called hell. That was what was making him justifiably fearful. The Bible teaches that God is so good, he'll not only punish murderers, but he'll also punish rapists, adulterers, thieves, fornicators, and liars. And his judgment won't stop there. He
He'll punish those who wanted to kill, that is, they had hatred in their hearts, and those who desired to commit adultery. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." God is holy. He sees our thought life, and from the point of view of absolute holiness, that leaves this man and all of us in big trouble. Listen to him.
"I need answers, and all your questions and your uncertainty are only making things worse.
I know you're upset.
God, I need someone who will look me in the eye and tell me how to find forgiveness, because I am running out of time."
We are all running out of time. Every day, 150,000 people die. They pass into eternity, and if they die in their sins, they'll end up getting exactly what they deserve, eternal justice. And that's a frightening thought. The Bible warns, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So what should we do? How can we get right with God? That was his question.
Is atonement even possible? What does God want from me?
In asking, is atonement possible, he was asking if there was any way he could be made right with God. Atonement is what happens when the law is satisfied. Let me explain. If a judge fines you $100,000, you're in debt to the law by that amount. But if someone steps in and pays your fine, they have made atonement for you. Their payment has made you right with the law. That means your case can be dismissed. You're free to go. Now think about it. You and I have violated God's law. You have lied in your life, haven't you? Or stolen something that belongs to another person. If you've looked with lust and you've committed adultery in your heart, have you ever used God's name in vain? If you've broken those commandments, God sees you as a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you'll be found guilty on the day of judgment. And the Bible warns that all liars will end up in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, no blasphemer will enter heaven. God takes sin very seriously. But the scriptures say that he's rich in mercy. And 2,000 years ago, God stepped in and paid the fine for us. He became a human being in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And this morally perfect man gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He provided atonement for us. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. You know the verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then Jesus rose from the dead and defeated death. Now you and I can receive forgiveness of sins. We can escape the damnation of hell. God can dismiss our case. He can commute our death sentence and legally grant us everlasting life because of the atonement of the cross. Another word for atonement is justification. No other religion can justify us or make us right with God. The moment we repent and trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are declared just in God's sight, as though we'd never sinned in the first place. Listen to Acts chapter 13 in the Bible. "Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus Christ, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So what are you waiting for? God offers you everlasting life. Your time is running out. You may not be alive tomorrow, so today, repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Humble yourself and apologize to God for sinning against him. Think about your sins. Think about the Savior. Think about what he did for you. And then trust in Jesus as you'd trust a parachute to save you. Then pick up a Bible and obey what you read. Thanks for listening to me. Please feel free to go to livingwaters.com and click on Save Yourself Some Pain. There you'll find principles for Christian growth. May God bless you and keep you.
You're listening to Trippy Dove Radio, and that was a powerful lesson from ER. Sorry if there's any delay. And now next I'm going to play, I'm going to play a break, and thank you for listening.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
Carolee and I have 2 children and 6 grandchildren. They are the delight of our lives. And I can remember the day when each of them was born. The birth of a child, what a special event. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Isaiah told Israel that the answer to all of their problems would come in the birth of a child. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he said, "For a child will be born to us, and his name will be called Mighty God." The word for child here is the Hebrew word yeled, referring to a male child. And the words "will be born" is the verb form of this word, yalad, meaning to give birth to a male child. Now the form of this verb is particularly interesting. It is the perfect form of the verb indicating action already completed. And it is the pu'al stem of the verb which has an intensive passive idea. In other words, this simply means that Isaiah saw the birth of this child as an intense event that was so sure it was as though it had already happened. You see, the hope of the world is in the incredible birth of a unique child who is actually Mighty God. So, this Christmas, as you look once again at the little child in the Bethlehem manger, remember Isaiah's prophecy. This is no ordinary birth, it is a unique birth, an intense event in the history of the world. For a child will be born to us. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, do you realize that the Almighty God humbled himself to be born as a child? That's amazing.
A Word from the Word is an apologetics ministry emphasizing the trustworthiness of the Bible and an exposition ministry exploring the biblical text for answers to life's most pressing issues. Visit our website today at awordfromtheword.org.
Radio, and I'll play the clip from Brad Stein, and this one's called "Christians Don't Have Curse Words."
Now, for those of you who don't know who I am, I mean, I am a comic, been doing it many, many, many years, almost 20 years now, and the entire time that I did my comedy, I am, as I came out on stage out of the closet years ago and admitted that I'm a Christian. I admitted it to the whole world. And yet, even when I started in comedy many, many years ago, I was always a Christian, but I was in comedy clubs, and so I never used any curse words. I've always been curse-free, never used any gratuitous sexual references, because I've always felt that creativity is funnier than crude, and I always wanted to use words that were just normal words that could create laughter. That's the way I've always been. And as a Christian, it was just not something I was allowed to do. You know, Christians grow up, we're not supposed to curse, and that's good. That's good that you watch your mouth. But the problem is, it slips out now and again, because you're human. Human. And sometimes we don't even give ourselves that much. See, that's the point I'm trying to make. I wish we were more real to people that don't believe like us. Maybe they'd actually find us interesting and compelling because we're real with them. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not fair that we don't have curse words. Christians should have their own curse words. Because I don't care how holy you are, you slam your hand in a car door, something's coming out of your mouth. That's just the way it is. And for some reason, a curse word feels like just the right man for the job. I don't know what it is about slamming your hand, but ouch just doesn't cut it. For some reason, it's that curse word that makes it feel like it's beginning to heal. See, that's the thing that people forget. That's the natural part of about life that I believe in. You see, we spend our lives trying to watch our mouth because it's natural to curse. Nobody has to learn to curse. You have to learn how not to. She knows. This woman curses like a sailor, I'm telling you. She can't curse enough. I mean, her friends don't even want to sit next to her half the time. She's a lunatic. Got a great laugh, though. What's your name?
Sandra Ford.
Sandra Ford?
for a stir. She's mad at me, like I should have known. For a stir, you idiot! Don't you have a dossier and all the people that enter your room? Sandra, for you live here in Lake Forest? Lake Forest? Forest Lake? Forester? Lake? Lake Jackson. I don't know. I'm at a new place. Give me a break, will you, lady? I don't know where I am. See, you live here. You already got it down. You live here your whole life? 30 years. What do you do? Oh, God bless you. Home provider for Down's children. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. So you got kids. They made you want to throw out a few curse words now and again. Don't be talking to me any different. Am I right? Yes. Of course I'm right. We got to watch our mouth. It ain't easy. That's what I'm talking about because it's natural. It's natural to curse. Man, it's so natural to curse. So natural to curse, we even invented a hand signal. So if I'm cursing in the car, I can let you in on it. That's what we did. We decided that the middle finger meant I'm cursing you. We just made that up. I feel sorry for the middle finger. Never did anything wrong. Big, strong, big, long finger. We decided you're the curse of Cain. We could have chosen any of the fingers, just the middle one for some reason. Why, all the other fingers, as a matter of fact, mean good things. Number one. Could have made this a bad finger, but we said, no, they'll make it a good one. Number one, you're number one. Thumb, like, hey, don't kill the gladiator. You know, good stuff. Stop cars. Hey, can I take a ride? Stop in a car. Add a little finger. Ooh, hang loose. Oh, lose the thumb. Hey, can I have some tea? I guess. I don't know what that is. Every finger means something because we choose to let it mean something. Third finger. I don't know what this one is. This is kind of like I'm cursing you, but I'm dyslexic. I guess. I don't know what that is. I don't know. We make it up. Your middle finger isn't bad. We chose to decide it was. Of course, sometimes I get angry and I have to watch myself trying to be a good Christian boy. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, you know, I want to give him the old finger, not allowed to. I figured it out, though. I just give him the whole hand. Hey! Yes! That way I can get out of it. Hey, you cursing me? No, I'm saying you're number one, man. What's the deal? It's hard. But see, it's about words, and words are important. I believe in words. I believe words are very important. But, sometimes we make them bad that actually weren't. You know, Jesus used words that we wouldn't allow to be said in church. Do you know that? Jesus. He called a bunch of Pharisees once a generation of vipers. A generation of vipers. What does that mean? Son of a snake. That's exactly what it means. Sons of snakes. You're a son of a snake! We have a similar turn in the United States of America. We do. We can call somebody a son of a dog. Now, if you don't think it's a curse word, at least it's an insult saying you come from an animal. So now we got a problem. Either Jesus cursed, making him a sinner, which means he's not God, or sin isn't always what we think it is. Christianity isn't as black and white as we've tried to make it. We got to remember, our Bible's filled with words that you wouldn't say to a kid. It's filled with concepts that you wouldn't want to say to a child. Because it's for adults, too. The Christian's got to quit acting like a bunch of babies. They can't think and sugarcoat everything. We've got to sugarcoat everything. Sometimes life is rough. One of the great things about my faith, one of the great things about Christianity, one of the reasons I'm a Christian is because it's the only religion that would have me. Because you don't have to do anything but believe in God. I love that. I love the one religion that was honest enough to look at humans and go, you stink. Come on in. Need that kind of God, man. I couldn't have done any of the other religions because they had all these rules. That's all they know is rules. You know, hey, I'll join your religion.
No bacon.
I'm out! What kind of a God would deny a man a BLT? You're crazy! I'm out! No. That's what I like about Christianity, man. It's completely unique and different. Lets me in the game, even though I don't deserve to be in the game. I'm proud of that.
That's Brad Stein with the clip, Christians Don't Have Curse Words. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and the next song I'm going to play is another Brad Stein. He's a Christian comedian, and this one is called Christmas Versus Halloween. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, and we're on our Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And thanks for listening. Here you go. With Brad Stein, Christmas Versus Halloween.
So I got on the airplane and I flew and I've made it this far. And I'm going to keep going because I believe in my country and I believe in the freedom it entails. And thank God I've made it so far. And I do thank God. I'm a theist. I do believe that there is an intelligent designer. I do believe there's purpose and value in life. And I bring up God a lot in my show. You know why? Because I miss him. I miss God in my country. I miss him. You'll never know these things. You're 16 years old. You've grown up with spring break, not Easter break. You grew up with winter break, not Christmas. You don't know what I'm talking about. That's the world you got. I remember when everybody cared. I remember when people used to say things like Merry Christmas to each other. Everybody said, Merry Christmas! Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Lowenstein. You know why? Because it wasn't about a religion. It was about something as a culture we thought was so valuable that we'd all do it together, even if I disagreed with the religion behind it, because it was good for all of us instead of just me. But what do people say now? Happy holidays. See, I just say happy holidays because I don't want to say Christmas because you don't believe in Christmas because I don't want to offend you because I... of the word offensive is driving me out of my mind. I mean, excuse me, sir, which part is more offensive, the peace on earth or the goodwill towards men rhetoric? It's such a disingenuous argument. It's not real. Oh, yes, we want to say happy holidays because we don't want to leave anybody out. Really, how come there's a ton of holidays in February? Nobody ever says happy holidays in February, do they? They say what it is. Happy Valentine's. Oh, do you believe in love? They don't care. Happy Valentine's is fine. Happy Hanukkah is fine. You see, that's what it's all about. In December, we've got two religious holidays, one cultural holiday, and one holiday that I'm not sure what it is, Boxing Day. Ever seen that? December 26th, Boxing Day. What does it mean? Nobody knows. Apparently, it's the day after Christmas. It must be all the fights we get in returning the junk we got the night before. Hey, I'd like to return the fruitcake. We don't take it. Happy Boxing Day. Christmas, everything else but Christmas. Why? I know why. You do too. It's because it's got Christ in it, and after 2,000 years, he's still intimidating people. You see, when a religious person says, I'm the way, people don't want to hear it. They don't, and I want to say it to the rafters. I've even seen Christian people not say Merry Christmas. There are people in China right now, Christians who are in jail because they had a page of the Bible. And Christians in this country won't even say Merry Christmas. It amazes me, the cowardice. That's the price you pay when you're rich and safe. Airline industry still hasn't recovered. You know why? People aren't getting on planes. They're afraid. Think of that. We have traded safety and comfort for freedom. We're going to lose this country if we talk like that. I say you got to say Merry Christmas because it is. If you don't believe in it, fine. But I have a flash for you. Christianity happens to be the religious heritage of my country, whether you like it or not. Christianity happened to be the belief system of 99.9% of the founding fathers, whether you like it or not. Every single founding father said that the Bible would be used as a fulcrum for the laws and ethics in this country, whether you like it or not. And they said it should be taught in school so kids would know where their ethics come from. So if you're not a Christian or you don't like it and you don't want Christmas celebrated, God bless you. But let me tell you something. If you think you're going to stop me from saying it because it offends you, hey, I got flies for you. Put a helmet on. It's my country, too. It's amazing to me what's happening up there. But it's the worldview. It's the worldview that changes the way things are. And if you're in here right now, you're an atheist and you snuck in for a free show, let me tell you something. Your holiday's coming. You know what the second most popular holiday is in this country?
Halloween.
Yeah, that's how it works. Let's lay this out. Okay, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and boom! Equally uplifting, don't you think, folks? Oh, by the way, have you ever noticed boo's the only scare word we know? It's the only thing you ever taught to scare people is the word boo. If you didn't know boo, we wouldn't know what to do. They'd open the door and you'd be like... All we know is boo, and yet boo is not inherently scary. Watch. Boo, boo, boo. Nothing! So why do people think they did something creative? Boo, gotcha, okay? No, it's the fact you were hiding in the refrigerator. That's what got me. You could have said pretty much anything. Mikey Rancho. What do you got, man? I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I'm not afraid of Halloween. I'm not scared of Halloween. There's nothing on this earth that frightens me. I fear God only. But the thing that's interesting about Halloween is I think it's an inherently flawed holiday because it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Here's how it's supposed to work. Trick or treat. I tricked you. You got to give me candy. Woo! The problem is I wasn't tricked. They always come on the same day. I knew you were coming. No trick, hence no treat. It's too popular. The only way trick-or-treat would work now is if you came like in May. 3 o'clock in the morning. What is going on? Trick-or-treat. You got me. Okay. All right, here's a pickle. It's...
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and that was Brad Stein. I got another clip for you soon, but first, gotta take a break. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Many times I've wondered at your
That was Matt Fredman with, once again, on Truth Be Told Radio. Thank you for listening to us. We're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can check out our archives on Blog Talk Radio. That means after a show, it automatically gets saved, and you can download it for later. And also on iTunes for free. And Blog Talk Radio is free, too, blogtalkradio.com. And find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And next, I'm going to play another funny clip from comedian. He's a Christian comedian, and his name is Brad Stein. We've been playing a lot of his clips. And I'm going to play another one. Let's see. This one is called... See if I got it ready. Not sure if I got it ready yet, so I'll just take a break and get that ready for you. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The theory of evolution. Why do people believe it? Answers with Ken Ham, author of the bestseller, The Lie, Evolution. From my experience, people don't believe in evolution because of the evidence. You see, they often don't even know the facts. I remember when I was on a talk show and a caller phoned in and said, it was obvious that evolution was true because of the evidence. So I said, well, tell the radio listeners, what's your best evidence for evolution? There was silence, and then the caller said, well, all the in-between forms, the transitional forms that show that one kind of animal changed into another. Then I said to the caller, can you name one? He said, well, I can't, but it's in the textbook somewhere. You see, he, like most people I've met who believe in evolution, can't give you evidence for evolution. So why do they believe it then? Well, if you accept that God is creator, it means you're accountable to God and he sets the rules. But if you're just a product of evolution, then it means you can write your own rules. Rebellion. You know, that's the real reason people don't want to accept creation.
Ken Ham looks much more into this fascinating topic in a DVD, which we'll send to you for your gift of any size. Call toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and request Ken's video on Reclaiming the Culture. As we begin to close out the week, call us 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to the web at answersoffer.org.
Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell, and we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Welcome back. Truth Be Told Radio. We were featuring some funny clips from Christian comedian Brad Stein. You can see these on YouTube. And this one's called Men Should Get Pregnant. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And find out more about us at TruthBetoldRadio.com.
Of all the things that women can do, I'll tell you what's the most amazing. They can have a baby. That blows me away. I will never in my life know what it's like to have a human being inside of me. It's amazing. Something happens to a woman's head when she's pregnant, though. Those things that used to be called rationality and common sense kind of just go, bing! She starts making stuff up and acting crazy. I mean, she's 8 months pregnant, gained 30 pounds. She's like, honey, I think I look fat. Do these jeans make me look fat? I feel fat. Do I look fat? Am I fat? Because I'm too fat. Am I fat? I'm fat. I feel like fat. I'm fat, fat, fat. Am I fat, 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 fat? Hey, 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 hey! You are! Bet I know why. Maybe it's because you got a baby lodged in your stomach. Taking a shot. At least it comes out of the stretchy part. What if it came out of your back? This stinks. This stinks. What is going on? All I can do is ring bells now. What's happening? They got special terms they use when they're pregnant. They don't even say pregnant. Got special words they use. I'm expecting. Expecting what? I'm expecting a child, silly. Well, you probably got a good shot. You know, being you're human and all. Man, I wouldn't think you'd be expecting. I'd think you'd be pretty sure. I mean, expecting would only make sense if you didn't know what you're going to get. That'd be weird. Go through 9 months of Lamaze. Ah, you had a weasel. Ah! I wasn't expecting that. Good one. I say they should let men get pregnant. Give us a chance. Let us have a shot at it. Yes. I'd do it.
Oh, the women were clapping, but not because they believe in unity. It's because they're like going, they couldn't handle it. I love it when women say that. I mean, I could understand them saying, you know, we wouldn't like it, but they always say the same old nonsense. Oh, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't handle the pain. They couldn't take the pain. No, we'd make a sport out of it. 9 months later, hey, Bubba's in labor. Push it, buddy, push it. Tim, go deep. Woo! Yeah. Bubba, you had a weasel. You don't think men and women are different? Still not convinced? Look around. Men are laughing. The women are like, he spiked the baby. It is just simply not funny when you spike babies. Hey, women, look. Baby ain't really here. It's a metaphorical, allegorical baby. Not real baby. Kind of give you a funny idea of what would happen if a man had a baby. And if a man can't have a baby, this can't even be here. Look at him. He's okay. He's going to make it. He'll be here for the next show, guaranteed. No, we got a fine bunch of wusses in our country when we're all concerned about the abuse of a pretend baby. But that's what you can be. That's what you can become. When you get so used to the knee-jerk reactions that you lose common sense.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and Brad Stein, he's a Christian comedian. Got another clip from him, and that one is called Part of Me, and this one's funny too, of course.
But my point is, it's hard to do the spiritual journey, man. It's hard. It takes faith. You got to do all this stuff, and you can't even do it right. And we give ourselves rules to make it even harder. And then rules to be a human, which never understood me. We got to give ourselves some slack somewhere, my brothers. I mean, especially when it comes to your human parts. Your human flesh. Why do I have to say pardon me for something my body does? Pardon me sounds like something you'd only say if your body did something nobody else had ever done before. I mean, you're apologizing. It sounds like you should have done something nobody else had ever pulled off. Fire shoots out of your butt. That would be worse than apology. Because you wouldn't see that coming. You wouldn't know what to do. Go to that big job interview. Mr. Bemis, it's been a... What in... Pardon me! I can type! That was weird. If that happened, I'd say apologize. But we don't. We apologize for stupid stuff, like yawning. You yawn, you got to say sorry. And then you got to cover it up, like you did something wrong.
Oh, I hope you didn't look in.
It's ridiculous. Ever talk to somebody and they have to yawn and they think if they do, it means that they think you're boring and they try to hold it in like that looks natural. Yeah, nothing more normal than talking to a guy that's having a seizure right in front of your face. And then when he's done, he just nods at you like we didn't see anything coming. Yeah, well... Sometimes you have somebody talk to you and they have to yawn, so they just talk through the yawn like you'll never see this. What's that all about?
Yeah, I thought we'd do the hair, hair,
if that's okay with you.
Merry Christmas. And what's going on?
Enough! I'm talking to my people now. To my people now. I've had lots of fun, 3 albums, and now number 4. Making fun of people that are atheists, secular humanists, far left leaning people. I've made fun of them. You know why? Because you all deserve to have a comic too. Championing your values. Not putting your country down, but lifting it up. And standing for things you believe in. You deserve that. But, my brothers, we also need to understand that we have gotten our own. See, this is the thing. The church has its own political correctness. It's called legalism. And it's the nonsense that has them people in the church telling you what you can do, can't do, what you can drink, can't drink, what you can wear, what you can't wear to be a good Christian. The very thing that Jesus hated his whole time on earth. What we've become many times. We're not all in the same place. You're not supposed to judge people where they're at in the journey. You're supposed to judge them where they're going.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and that was Brett Stein, excuse me, doing some funny things, and we're going to take a break and play some little bit more serious stuff, and thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell, and we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
Put to death because they needed a bed.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, How Could a Loving God?
I heard about a Dutch study on euthanasia which found that in a single year there were more than 2,700 euthanasia deaths. These were people who were deliberately killed by a doctor, and you know what? Half of them were not even given a choice. One elderly lady didn't even want to be admitted to a hospital because she thought the doctors would put her down. Her own doctor assured her he wouldn't do that, so she went in. But while he was away, someone else killed her because they needed her bed for another patient. You know, patient killing is actually a logical outcome of indoctrination and evolution. You see, the more people believe that they're just evolved animals, then who decides right or wrong? If we're just animals anyway, then killing a human is no different than putting down a dog or a cat. From a survival of the fittest perspective, it makes sense to rid the world of the old or sick. Christians have to stand against this evil and teach that all humans are very special, made in the image of God.
Do you wonder why America has moved so far away from the Bible? Are we surprised that people are more accepting of so-called gay marriage, abortion, and other social ills? Well, that's the theme of a fascinating DVD by Ken Ham, available to you for your donation of any size. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS. Or go online to answersoffer.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross.
That was It's About the Cross, and that was a group called Go Fish, a very good group. They actually sing mostly children's music, but it's very good. It's and their tagline is music that won't drive parents bonkers. To find out more about them, see them at GoFishGuys.com, GoFishGuys.com. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And now we're going to play, for the end of, towards the end of the show, we're going to play a clip. It's called Are You a Good Person? And you're listening to truthbetoldradio.com, like I said. And we're also on Facebook and... Oh, I think I haven't uploaded the clip, so I'll have to take a break real quick and get that uploaded for you. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Put to death because they needed a bed.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, How Could a Loving God?
I heard about a Dutch study on euthanasia which found that in a single year there were more than 2,700 euthanasia deaths. These were people who were deliberately killed by a doctor, and you know what? Half of them were not even given a choice. One elderly lady didn't even want to be admitted to a hospital because she thought the doctors would put her down. Her own doctor assured her he wouldn't do that, so she went in. But while he was away, someone else killed her because they needed her bed for another patient. You know, patient killing is actually a logical outcome of indoctrination and evolution. You see, the more people believe that they're just evolved animals, then who decides right or wrong?
If we're just animals anyway, then killing a human is no different than putting down a dog or a cat. From a survival of the fittest perspective, it makes sense to rid the world of the old or sick. Christians have to stand against this evil and teach that all humans are very special, made in the image of God.
Do you wonder why America has moved so far away from the Bible? Are we surprised that people are more accepting of so-called gay marriage, abortion, and other social ills? Well, that's the theme of a fascinating DVD by Ken Ham, available to you for your donation of any size. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS, or go online to answersoffer.org.
UPS delivers a package and everybody wonders who it is for. Then someone says, "Hey, it's for you." And suddenly it all becomes very personal. "It's for you" makes you very interested in what it might be. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the prophet delivers an interesting package. He says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name will be called Mighty God." Now, you know that this is a great prophecy filled with encouragement, but then you notice the words, "to us." A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. "To us" is repeated twice in the Hebrew text and turns the whole prophecy into a very practical revelation. In the context, "to us" refers to Israel. But from our vantage point of fulfilled prophecy, it is a reference to all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. This special gift of a divine Savior born as a child is a gift delivered from heaven to us. Listen, Christmas is not just a holiday, it is more like a birthday. It's Jesus' birthday, but the gift is given to you. It is very personal. You see, the Son of God came into our world for the express purpose of dying for your sins. Therefore, when he was born, it was especially for you. Understand how personal it all is. It's to us. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, do you realize that the greatest Christmas present of all has your name on it?
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Well, apparently I don't have enough time for the clip, but you could take the test yourself at goodpersontest.com. GoodPersonTest.com. I'll play it next week if you listen. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Find out more about us at TruthBeTollRadio.com, and also hear all of our archives on BlogTalkRadio.com and also on iTunes. They're all for free. And hear our past shows, and you could download them, listen to them, put them on iPod, whatever you want to do. Thanks for listening. Tell everybody else about us that you know, and thanks for listening again, and here we go out. Listen to us next week, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, every Sunday, Truth Be Told Radio.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And don't forget to listen to us next time for more teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.